This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the person they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. Been thinking about C.S. Lewis the last couple of weeks. A wonderful writer. He's influenced me in many ways through his books, Mere Christianity, when I remember reading when I was a senior in high school so many years ago, and then later on, Miracles. The Problem of Pain helped me with the problem of good and evil and pain in life. Screwtape Letters I really loved and found helpful. You have to look at things sort of upside down, you know, as it's the letters of the devil to one of his demons. Chronicles of Narnia I really loved. In fact, I took a class on C.S. Lewis when I was in college. I love his books, but one thing that's spoken to me over the years, as much as his books, has been the correspondence. I love to read that because it reveals just so much about his private life and his reflections, his friendships, and all that. And well, we've been talking about a letter he responded to, a letter questioning how to pray from a doctor named F. Morgan Roberts, dated 31 July 1954. Lewis had some rules about prayer. We've talked about that. One was to make sure that the main prayers not be put off to the last thing at night. Another was to avoid introspection in prayer. Too much of that. A third thing was never to generate an emotion by willpower. And then four, to pray without words, he wrote, when I am able, but to fall back on words when tired or otherwise, he wrote, below par. Interesting, isn't it? I really think Lewis was a man very familiar with written prayers. You might call them formal prayers. He loved the Book of Common Prayer used by the Anglican Church, which he was a member. There are beautiful prayers in that book, meaningful prayers, close to one's heart. So what I believe Lewis is referring to there in praying without words has to do with our most private times with God. Those times when no one's listening, no one's evaluating our word choice, we're not in church reciting prayers, no one's thinking about whether we have proper subject-verb agreement, things like that. Lewis is really referring to what I call resting in the Spirit, taking the Spirit in. Romans 8, Paul talked about this in verse 26 and 27. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Paul was talking about being in a place where we just can't pray, and the Holy Spirit takes our prayers from our heart and then interprets those to Jesus Christ through God to heaven. Well, let's think about that concept. This isn't perfect, but maybe it's an example from my own prayer life that can help. So early in the morning, just after sunrise preferably, I will sit in my back porch and I just gaze out on the horizon in the field behind our house. And sometimes I see deer out there on the distance. And they're really beautiful. Sometimes Lori goes and gets binoculars and we can see them, but it's something about the deer, you know, I love that. And then sometimes there are geese that fly over and honk as they fly overhead. And if I look out there and I accept that beauty, I mean, as I take in that moment as a gift of God and simply breathe that in and sit there and wonder, love, and praise, I really need no words to express it. To describe that back to God would be meaningless. I don't need words. I'm just worshiping as I take all that in. Or another example, let's say later in the day, and this happens too. I'm up in my study upstairs and I'm looking out and maybe I see a cardinal that lights on a spruce tree over there. And I just take that in as a gift of God. So in that moment, I take that moment in and I'm praising God. I don't need to use words in that moment. I simply receive that moment as a gift from God. I give that moment then back to God as a gift from my heart that He's already given me. Sometimes we pray most deeply when we use no words at all. Not everybody has the vocabulary to articulate the right words. So in that moment of worship, whether I'm pondering from my back porch or up in my study peering out the window, whether it's no words or one word or 10,000 words, I'm praying all the same. See, it's not the amount of words from my lips that God wants, but the reverence for Him from my heart. And it's the same way when it comes to me making amends to God for something I've done that's displeasing to Him, or even a thought of waywardness in my life. The inward chastening of the heart, my heart, maybe it's expressed in a groan or a sigh or maybe a tear. Well, that has greater worth than a variety of words that I could look up to try to impress God, you know, go to a thesaurus and try to find just the right words. God just wants the heart. And something else I've noticed about that silent prayer, when I've had times of silent prayer, often words flow from that moment of silence. And there's truth in what St. John of the Cross said. Silence, he said, is God's first language. But that doesn't mean that God will not meet us in whatever language we have to offer. In all our prayers, we remember that what's important is not what we do or how we do it, but it's the very movement of my heart turning to God. And whenever I feel that nudge from God, when I'm willing to turn to Him, that's what God honors. I think that's what the psalmist was really saying in Psalm 80, where he wrote, you read through that psalm over and over, turn us again to yourself, O God. Turn us again to yourself. So pray for that, my friend, whether you use words or not. And then come back here next week. And in the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be. Here comes the sun. Here comes